already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
It was a mistake to let them in here. Let's just show them out. Okay. Kind of cute, but kind of obnoxious, too. Well, good evening. Good evening. It's 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, and you're listening to Brain Damage here on the most brain-damaged station of the 90s. We're so brain-damaged, it's not even the 90s yet, and we're talking about it. WUSB.
Well, perhaps in the 1890s. Maybe we're the first station of the
gay 90s, they called the 1890s.
That's right.
I don't know what they're going to call the 1990s, but they're going to call it something, I'm sure. We are here till midnight, and we've got all kinds of fun things to do, as usual, fun things to talk about, and you're invited to join the party here by calling us at 632-6901, spouting forth with whatever is on your mind, and let's make this the week where we hear from some new people. Not that we're tired of the old people, but we could be, but there's plenty of other people out there that we happen to know through various surreptitious ways of finding out these things. We happen to know that there are people out there listening that have not called in and introduced themselves and said hello to everyone else who's listening that hasn't called. So give us a call at 632-6901. We're going to be talking about all various things that have happened this week, such as the Republican convention. I mean, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Jim?
Some of it.
Yeah? At what point couldn't you take it anymore?
Well, it wasn't really a question of not being able to take it anymore. I just, for various temporal reasons, I think involving my temporal lobe, as a matter of fact. No, for various, I guess, circumstantial reasons, not specifically related to the convention, I didn't get to watch all of it. I watched it in several different points. I guess I saw the first night. I did not hear the president's speech.
Shame.
Well,
to say the least,
I meant no disrespect neither to the president nor to any of the networks.
Well, Jim, you are in luck.
I don't have a Nielsen, you know, I'm not a Nielsen person anyway. So
you are in luck because we happen to have a rebroadcast of that speech coming right up in this very program.
Terrific.
Obviously, for time purposes, we can't broadcast all of it, but we did piece together the highlights, and we'll be getting to that very soon. So if you missed the president's speech, or maybe even if you saw the president's speech and you sat through it and said, what the hell is that all about? Well, maybe this will help you realize what was going on. Just a little thing we pieced together here for your information purposes only.
Not for entertainment purposes only?
Well, I mean, you could take it any way you want, I guess.
Okay.
Now, did you happen to see Pat Robertson?
You know, that's another situation.
Well, you missed the two highlights of the convention.
See, the next day, I was interested in hearing Pat Robertson's speech. But the next day, I had to go to work real early in the morning, so I had to complete my ablutions. Actually, I had to start my ablutions also and complete them, and then retire. Not only that, I also washed around and went to sleep. But I missed. I heard it coming from the next room, where some other people were watching it. But and it sounded like he was getting quite an ebullient reaction from the crowd there. But I never actually got to see it. I saw some of the other speeches during the course of the convention, but not those two, actually.
I guess maybe you saw quail.
Yes, and
what a ridiculous ticket Bush's that's going to be Bush quail. It just sounds so silly.
Well, there was a news item indicating that in Rochester, upstate, some years back, completely unrelated to the ticket, a street was named.
Uh-huh.
Bush Quail Road or something like that.
Really?
So they're
where's
quite
that?
Happy up there. In somewhere, I think, in or near Rochester, here in New York.
Oh,
New
how
York
about
State.
That? That's certainly prophetic.
Yeah. But I did see Bush's speech and Governor Kaine's speech and Jean Kirkpatrick's speech.
Jean Kirkpatrick?
Bush's speech.
Wow.
Yes, she gave the second or the first of the two keynote addresses with Governor Kaine giving the second one on Tuesday night.
Uh-huh. And, that's good to know. Real good to know.
I don't want to get too much into the details of the nuts and bolts of the program here and thereby ruin the mystique of radio, but, you know, I'm not wearing headsets. And I'm not complaining I'm not, but
you're not
I
missing,
just
you're
saw
not
you...
missing anything.
Well, that's... Well, I mean...
Because
I
just, this machine is not working. This machine is not working.
Oh, is that it? You see, folks, the reason why I mentioned that is that Eric, at a certain point in the conversation just a few moments ago, Eric played a tape, and it played for a few seconds and then stopped, and I'm at a disadvantage in the sense that Eric is wearing headsets, so he would be able to hear what was on the tape, and you are listening at home, unless you're using your radio for purposes other than radio reception.
Which we cannot condone.
Well, I don't know. I think it's up to the individual circumstance. But so you might have heard it, but apparently nobody heard anything anyway because nothing happened.
No, you see, we have certain sound effects that we like to portray every
right.
now and then, and I figured what you were saying before about Bush Quail and Barbara Bush's speech and Jean Kirkpatrick, I wanted to hear the sound of an ocean. And
an ocean.
Yeah, and I pressed the button and nothing happened. There was no ocean.
That's an interesting sound effect to add. Is there something I'm missing there? I don't quite understand the meaning.
No, I just thought an ocean would be nice. And right, speaking of quail, I have this one here, which is forest birds in the forest twittering away, but
nice.
There's something wrong with this machine. I'll press the button. And
Nothing will happen?
I'm getting a boat horn.
Oh, my goodness.
Getting a boat horn. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
I asked for birds, and I got a horn.
Extraordinary.
We have no control anymore.
Oh, gosh. My gosh.
It's not anything I can easily explain. I think something is wrong with Jim's mic. So I'm going to try to bring you up on another mic here and see if that works any better. No, that's the wrong button, too. Wait a minute. I'll get you back, Jim. Hold on. Oh, no, not again. Oh. Walter, sit. Sorry, my dog got here somehow. I don't know where he came from, but... Over there, where you usually stay. Back, Jim?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Thanks a lot. That's interesting that's been happening.
I can't explain all that. That's what you call, in radio terms, I guess a harmonic or something. It just, sometimes weird things happen and you get different kinds of things you're not supposed to get.
Mm.
It's because of the summer, because of the sky, sky wave interference, sunspots. Yeah, that's what it is.
Fascinating.
Sunspots. We can't explain it all the time.
A harmonic, yeah. I understand, as a matter of fact, that some harmonica players are having difficulty where they start to play their harmonica, and instead of the normal harmonica sound coming out, that WUSB comes out of the harmonica. It's fascinating.
that's certainly interesting.
It
well,
is.
Well, let's give out the phone number one more time, 632-6901. We have a call. Let's go to it. Good evening, Andrew. How are you?
Andrew.
Oh, wow. How about that? How about that?
I didn't think it was Andrew.
I don't know. He always calls first.
I beat him. You
wow.
picked up the wrong one.
No, I picked
Jim
up the only one. I picked up the only one, but obviously you're not Andrew, so unless you've grown up quite a bit.
Am I going to get hung up on because I'm not Andrew?
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm at a big party over here, my sister.
Words of wisdom.
I can't seem to think of anything to say to anybody. It's basically a BAB type crowd, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well, we certainly know what that means.
Hard to get conversation going. I should talk about, well, I don't want to say anything. So what's the subject tonight?
You call up and you don't want to say anything? Shut up.
Well, I mean, I can't get that. Yeah, I know. What a mess. Jesus. I got interrupted there a second. Yeah, big party. You want to smell a vodka or
take
the phone?
Dog outside, please.
You smell it?
Hold on. We got a problem here. I'm trying to get this. Hold on.
Hello, Eric.
Storm outside.
What's the subject tonight?
Okay, the problem, the subject is, we were talking about the Republican convention.
Oh, that's redundant. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to talk about that, but what we are going to do, for your, well, are you near a radio? Can you get to a radio?
Oh, but I
that's
just
too
wanted
bad.
To say something.
Because we're
going to
be rebroadcasting Reagan's speech, or at least parts of it, and, we want people to be at radios, obviously, to hear that. You can't hear that over the phone.
They got BAB on back there.
Oh, boy.
I can't turn this on. It'll go nuts.
That's, no, there's no excuse for that at all.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you hung up on a guy 2 weeks ago. And remember, the theme of your show is brain damage. And you hung, because the guy wasn't making any sense. Remember that?
I hung up on someone because they weren't making any sense.
You said you switched them to the psycho ward. I remember that.
Oh, yes, I do remember that, too.
They
thanked me later.
It's supposed to be brain damage, but I guess that me and you have two different interpretations of it.
Well, sometimes you're in a brain damage mood, and sometimes you're not in a brain damage mood.
Oh, because you see, the thing is, that guy might have been talking that way, because I noticed it happens to me a lot on this program. You get nervous. Because I'm not an announcer. You are. You're at ease. But he was on the phone, and he might have felt pressured. And I was thinking that that guy might have had the same problem I did in the beginning. You know, he was nervous, and he might have sounded distraught, but he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe
he also might have called 50 times before that very same night, and maybe...
Oh, he does?
Maybe that was the last straw.
I never heard him before. I didn't know what he was trying to say, but I was trying to make sense out of it.
Sometimes people disguise their voices, and it takes the trained ear to find out who they really are.
I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay.
So the subject's going to be the convention tonight?
Well, it could be. It could be anything that, you know, I would like people to call up and say, you know, it really ticks me off, and then go into a whole barrage of something that happened to them this week, and ask for Jim and myself to lend an ear and to give our opinions, and to ask for other callers to give advice, too.
Well, I'm going to vote for George Bush.
You're going to vote for George Bush?
I'm talking on to what's his name on the phone here.
So you don't believe in God, then, eh?
Come through what you said, because it would have been censored. You still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Now, justify yourself, please.
You said, what the F are you talking to?
Uh-huh.
You don't want to hear that on the air.
I don't want to hear anything having to do with that radio station on the air.
Here I am, talking to Eric on a Saturday night when I should be outside socializing. What is the world coming to?
I don't know.
You know who you sound like? Jack Flanders from Dreams of Rio. He uses that a lot.
Do you have something to say about George Bush?
Well, because I tell you, I think the guy has got guts. That's why.
We've all got guts.
Yeah, but a lot of them...
Let's try to keep it out of politics, though.
Wishy-washy. He backed up the president with the Iran thing.
He did? Where was he?
I remember that. He was in...
I don't remember hearing his name.
When they shot down that plane and everything.
Which plane was that?
That's what you need. You don't need one of these wishy-washy guys. You need somebody with... The world is in bad shape today. Guy with guts. And George Bush has got the guts.
Well, I still don't see how he has guts. I haven't seen an instance where he's shown us his guts.
Remember the thing? What was that? Nightline?
ABC Nightline? Yes, I guess he was on that once. But that doesn't prove that you have guts.
You don't think so?
No, you have to do a lot more than that.
Don't you have to go to a gastroenterologist?
Yeah, but he has, I don't know. He just sounds like he can handle... You got to be tough to be president. You can't be a wimp today.
Well, you got to be cruel to be kind. I know all that stuff, but I don't know. So far, I'm not convinced.
You're not convinced? Well, who do you like? Or you don't want to say over the air?
Oh, I don't like anybody, but I never like anybody.
I know. Well, I don't like anybody really either, but the one that I dislike the least is Bush.
Uh-huh.
Because he already has experience, you know, in the White House. He already knows how everything's going. I wouldn't put an inexperienced guy in there right now the way the world is.
Well?
No, he's got first-hand, you know, he knows what's happening.
Are you sure?
I think so. I don't think I read the paper enough, but there's so much slander. You don't know what
and
to
if
believe.
And if he does know what's happening, is it what you want to happen?
But I think that as far as foreign policy, he has the right. He has the guts. He knows what to do.
Uh-huh.
Opinion, from what I've seen of him on TV. And don't forget, I don't watch the sensational news channels. I watch McNeil Air. I don't get the wishy-washy stuff. You know, I get the good news, where it's pretty in-depth. It isn't just superficial.
Do you listen to Pacifica News here on USB?
I do, but I don't always.
Uh-huh.
I listen to that usually when I'm eating dinner, if I get home.
Well, we put it on in the dinner hour specifically for that purpose. But it's also on at 6:30 in the morning if you're up early.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well,
we get up to put it on the air, so you should get up to listen to it.
Yeah, I don't always catch it because I'm at the gym until around 7.
Uh-huh.
I don't always catch it. I catch it on Wednesday because I don't go to the gym on Wednesday.
Ah.
But I have to go back to work Monday, so it's going to be a dismal week.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of problems to work out.
Mm.
So.
I got to say hello to that guy, Sammy, who always calls. I like him.
All right, well, say hello to Sammy now.
Yeah, so I got to say hello to the whole gang out there. They're a great crew.
The whole brain damage crowd.
Yeah, they're all a good crew. I got to get back out there and socialize.
Okay, you get back to the people, I guess, you're socializing with now, and we'll go to some more calls.
Yeah, all right. Take care, Eric.
Take care of yourself.
Night, everybody.
Good night. The night's just beginning here, though. The program is Brain Damage. We can be reached at 632-6901. We'll take a couple of more calls, then we'll briefly outline the news, and then we'll go into Reagan's speech, which has been edited for clarity, and we'll go into that just as soon as practical. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Speak or be spoken to.
I put you on hold.
Excuse me?
I had you on hold. That's why I didn't know it was on.
You had me on hold?
Yeah.
My goodness, can you believe the callers I'm getting here?
Amazing.
Talk show has been put on hold.
I hope you're not interrupting him, Eric.
No, I mean, if you're not too busy, would you like to say something to us?
Maybe he can fit us in next week.
Yeah, well, I was kind of shocked with the last call I had to say.
Yeah, well, what do you have to say?
Well, I heard a story that he, in fact, he's saying he has guts. That last caller said he had guts, but I heard a story of quite the contrary about his adventures in World War II,
uh-huh.
Where he abandoned the plane with people aboard.
Yeah, I heard something to that effect, too, where the plane went down in flames, and there's some dispute as to whether or not it did go down in flames. There's also some dispute as to whether Bush could have saved some people who died in that plane. But
I heard it is that he could have, because how could he realize that these people were dead?
But in all honesty, I can't blame anyone in a war situation for screwing up. I mean,
I'm just bringing up the fact that he said he has guts. That may not be.
If he lies about it, yeah. If he lies about it, then I don't think I think you know you should go after him with all you got. But
Did you hear anything about the riot in Tompkins Square?
Well,
it may have been a higher up order in terms, of, you know, the national government.
Do you think the national government could issue some kind of order to have local police?
There was a big crackdown on. They wanted all type of protests suppressed in terms of something this big, and this may have been an order from the government.
Well, I don't know how you know punks, anarchists, and drunks are going to really be that kind of a social issue. You know, it's not going to make the federal government worry. I don't think it's an interesting idea.
No, I heard this in the news, so. I'm just telling you what...
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to hear more about that if you have any more details or if anyone else does. We are going to read a couple of things about Tompkins Square a little bit, I guess, after we get to Reagan and the other things we have to get to.
Nothing about this, though.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't heard anything about that, but...
Sorry, I heard this on BII.
Uh-huh. Well, it's certainly something I'd like to hear more about, and...
I wouldn't be surprised, so...
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's... I read something in the paper from a police sergeant, I guess, who said that during the heat and humidity, he was kind of categorizing how people act. He was saying, in the heat and humidity, you don't really get much trouble, but on that first cool night, that's when all hell breaks loose. And last night was really that first cool night, and I don't know if anything happened.
I was in the park Thursday night.
Uh-huh. And Tompkins Square?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, you could tell there was a lot of tension there.
Well, there's always a lot of tension there. People are kind of hostile, but...
No. There's a lot of friendly chap.
Oh, there's friendly people, yeah, but there's also a lot of, you know, people grumbling all the time. Washington Square Park, that's my favorite. That's where I like to hang out. But they close that one at 11 o'clock every night. Yeah. I don't know why still. Well, okay, thanks very much for calling then.
Okay.
Take care. Jim, have you successfully made it to the other studio?
Yes.
Well, that's good. What we're going to do now...
I'm going to tie my shoelaces next.
Ah, okay, well, that's... You're getting there.
Thanks.
I'm going to go over the news very quickly, and then we're going to go into this Reagan deal a little bit. Our phone number is 632-6901, and this is something interesting. A Newsweek poll indicates that if the presidential election were held today, GOP presidential nominee George Bush would beat Democrat Michael Dukakis 51% to 42%. I don't understand this. It was exactly the opposite only a few days ago. Concerning Bush's running mate, 66% say they would not have an unfavorable opinion of Dan Quayle if it turned out he used family influence to get into the National Guard to avoid being drafted. Only a couple of days ago, Bush was well behind Dukakis. Now, suddenly it turned around. I don't understand this. Doesn't make any sense. But that's only the Newsweek poll. I don't know if that's the way they're all going to be reflected, but still, something to think about.
Well, I was just going to say, if I could for a moment, that I wonder that if they ever took a survey that said that if the election were held today, whether or how many people polled would go running out to buy turkeys desperately, realizing that Thanksgiving was closer than they thought, or yes, thinking that Thanksgiving was closer than they thought.
I'll tell you, if the election were held today, I wouldn't vote because I don't have time.
Well,
I'm busy today. I've got other plans, and damn it, you should give me more notice.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a heck of a thing. I was going to say, it'd be a heck of a thing to suddenly spring an election on people who are used to it being in November, and suddenly it's August. Can you imagine people are on their way to the beach, or at least on their way to
avoid
the beach, and someone comes up to them and says to them, "So, did you vote today? Who'd you vote for? You have your voter registration card?" You know,
that's imagine the thing. I don't think I'd be able to find any of that stuff.
Can you imagine?
I can't find things in less than a week, usually. So if there was an election today, I'd say there'd be a lot of chaos in the street.
There certainly would be. I don't know if that would really get nasty, but it would certainly be a lot of confused people.
A lot of confused people.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, anyway, reporters' questions about Quayle followed Bush today. Pretty interesting. I would like to have seen that. At the Ohio State Fairgrounds, Bush defended... Why are they always going to fairgrounds? Bush defended his running mate. I've never even been to a fairground, and these presidential people are always going to fairgrounds.
Maybe it's in the Constitution somewhere.
I don't know. Where's a fairground around?
A fairground article or something. Article maybe presidential candidates shall visit no fewer than 200 fairgrounds in the course of a campaign. But I guess there must be a lot of this was in the Midwest, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I get the impression that in a number of Midwestern states that county fairs are really a big thing. And I'm not saying this in a disparaging way. It sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Maybe even in some other states, not even in the Midwest, but possibly in... I get the feeling that in rural areas of the country, that county fairs are... and I imagine this is probably what it was, a county fair, when they say fairgrounds, are a big deal and are a big event and a lot of interesting competitions and such, I think, related to agriculture.
Well, you know, every so often, right here in the Three Village area, Setauket, they have some kind of a fair on various village greens where everybody kind of dresses up in Revolutionary Guard and, like, raids a few stores and breaks windows, things like that. It's all in good fun and everything like that, but no one goes around saying, "I'll meet you at the fairgrounds." They just say, "I'll meet you over where everybody else is." You know, we don't put on airs here. We don't say those things because, you know, why bother?
Well, no, that's fine, but I have the feeling that it's not so much that they put on... I mean, I guess I can see where you get the impression that there's much made of it elsewhere, but I don't think they're putting on airs. I just think that it's such a routine kind of event. And I guess that presidential candidates assume that it's a good way to reach large numbers of people at one time that are gathered in an area at one time, And I think that that's why very often you hear that mentioned.
Well, let's see if there's anything else we want to talk about here.
But there was one other thing. I hate to keep interrupting. Maybe right. I should just shut up and let you
well,
keep
just,
talking.
Well, just say one more thing. Read one more thing.
Oh, right. Okay. It was just that on the same topic, the same story, the phrase that this question followed Vice President Bush around. If you take certain, I mean, obviously I know what they mean in the story, but imagine taking some of these phrases literally, how funny it would seem. To imagine a question following a candidate around. He looks over his shoulder, and there's a sentence with a question mark walking over towards him.
Yeah, I did take that literally.
Oh.
That's exactly what I saw.
Oh.
What did you see?
Well, it could be a figure of speech that the issue itself ends up... I mean, the issue, or a certain issue... Thank you. follows somebody in the sense that wherever they go, there's a person, not the same person necessarily, but a person that asks the same question or raises the same issue.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Well, that's fascinating then. Well, shall we proceed?
Maybe I need some air. Maybe that's my problem. I think I'll just kind of take a breather. Maybe
okay.
It'll help my my brain here.
Donald, I'll get him out of here. Get
sorry.
Him out of here.
Here, Pooch. Come on.
What's those things in here anyway?
Well, I'll be quiet.
He must have followed me here.
He's a nice dog.
He's very nice.
Sweetheart.
But
he is, really.
The thing is, he's got to learn certain things. Like what the on-air sign
mic
means.
Technique, yeah, that kind of thing.
All right.
He's filling in for me, you know, next time I'm supposed
well,
to...
Well, that's your responsibility, and you're going to have to...
he's very good. He's very good at the... turntable operation.
I don't believe this. I have the door closed and you can still hear him.
And he's an expert. He knows a lot more about music than I do. For the classical program, he's going to be a terrific asset. He's a specialist in Rococo, the Rococo period.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music in the Rococo period. He's a big specialist.
I'm sorry if I seem kind of distracted here, but this is very embarrassing to me.
What, you mean your dog making the
just
noise?
Just having him here.
Oh, no, I wouldn't be embarrassed at all. I think it's perfectly...
Last time he was here,
right.
I had to spend 2 hours cleaning up after him.
Really?
Yeah, and after that, I had to deal with all the people that were asking me why I did that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not like it's my choice. It's not like something I...
No, he comes after you. Yeah.
Anyway, I think he's quieted down a little bit. Let's get back to the news. Like the Republicans, Dukakis and his running mate, Lloyd Bentsen, campaign together, except they're Democrats. The Democrats appeared in Stonewall, Texas, with Dukakis accusing Benson, accusing Bush.
That would have been interesting.
No.
That would have been a real lively
hasn't reached that point yet. Yes, they keep things entertaining. He accused Bush of taking the Republican Party farther away from the mainstream. Dukakis and Benson also charged Bush with a battering ram. No, they charged him with ducking comment. I love the way they illustrate words here. They charged Bush with ducking comment on the nation's trade and budget deficits. That's called active speech, I guess.
Yeah, heck of some interesting imagery here.
Yeah.
Question pursuing him. A comment heading for making him duck. These words are after Bush like there's no tomorrow.
Well, let's go overseas then, shall we? Iran.
Sure.
Iran, yes, that four-letter word. Iran and the United Nations aren't commenting on a charge from Iraq's government news agency that Iran has violated their one-day-old ceasefire. The agency says an Iranian soldier killed an Iraqi soldier, but adds that Iraq didn't retaliate. Earlier, the commander of the UN group observing the truce said the ceasefire was holding. Tensions increased today in the Israeli city of Haifa? I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Haifa, where a hand grenade exploded, reportedly injuring at least 25 people. Witnesses say the grenade exploded near a toy store and a crowded sidewalk cafe. Police said 15 Arabs are being detained for questioning. The deaths of 8 soldiers in an Irish Republican Army car bombing in Northern Ireland has been followed by some top-level meetings in London. A member of Parliament was among those meeting with British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher after he called for the return of the controversial policy of selective internment. Last used in 1975, the policy allows suspected guerrillas to be jailed without a trial. Military leaders in Poland have met in an emergency session after workers at four more coal mines joined nationwide strikes demanding legalization of Solidarity. The state-run news agency says only Poland's leader and the National Defense Committee reached appropriate decisions. The brief message gives no hint as to what the government is going to do about the strikes. And finally, Idaho farmers are offering to supply drought-stricken Iowa farmers with all the hay they need. And that's what I like about this country. No matter what the race or denomination, people back each other up, you know? I mean, whoever thought you'd see the day where Idaho farmers would be helping Iowa farmers?
Oh, I'd have thought so.
I don't know. Not in my lifetime, I didn't think.
Really? You, really?
Well, all the hatred and hostility of past generations and, of course, all the...
Oh, I didn't know about that.
All the... Oh, you know, just the misconceptions that are placed in our heads from childhood. I mean, we all have a picture of an Iowa farmer in our head. And we all have a picture of an Idaho farmer in our head. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's something to laugh about, obviously, because that's a pretty funny picture. But
well, no, I'm not laughing at the Idaho or Iowan farmers, but you have a point there. I think
we can all learn.
There are two different images.
Idaho and Iowa.
Somehow
Idaho and Iowa can resolve their differences. Why can't Iran and Iraq?
Interesting question.
The four eyes, you know.
Interesting question. Gee, interesting question. You know, because I wonder how many times. Guess how many times I'm going to say interesting question tonight, folks. Interesting question, because I do picture two different people, none lesser than the other, but no one lesser than the other, but. But the Idaho farmer, somehow I picture him, well, farming potatoes, and for some reason I picture him wearing a shirt with pocket flaps. Now, I have shirts with pocket flaps, so believe me, I'm not putting that person
down.
Let
me just cut you off right there so that I can say, insert this before what you say. If there are any Idaho people out there, what Jim is saying are his own opinions. And things that he has come to see as a result of his upbringing, they do not in any way mean to be the representation of the staff and or members here of WUSB. And we do apologize in advance for anything he may say. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, okay. I mean, okay, here goes. But I don't think it's a question of my upbringing as much as just something that got into my silly little head. But actually, I don't even think it's that silly, and I don't certainly mean any of this as a put-down, but if you want to, you know, have that disclaimer, by all means, I agree. But the Idaho farmers wear shirts with pocket flaps, and I picture
already you've lit up the switchboard.
But there's nothing wrong. I just said I wear shirts with pocket flaps myself. I like them. It keeps glasses from falling out of my pocket.
As soon as you even say the word Idaho in the station, you get hate mail. Calls.
I like Idaho. I like potatoes from Idaho.
Well,
but
go ahead, Mayor Koch. Try to
top this, huh?
No, try to make amends, but it's not going to work. You've said it already. But go ahead, try it.
Goodness!
Look at those lights.
Well, I was going to say about the Iowa farmers. For some reason, I picture the Idaho farmer sitting on a tractor. I picture the Iowa farmer for some reason standing in a field, still doing work just the same,
mm-hmm.
but wearing overalls and a hat. Which I didn't picture the Idaho farmer wearing. And again, I see nothing wrong with wearing a hat.
Oh, my God.
And wearing overalls. Well, coveralls, for that matter. As a matter of fact, speaking of coveralls, speaking of dogs, I think I might have mentioned before, I know this huge Newfoundland dog, great guy. Kind of dog that is so smart he pets you.
Well, don't invite him over. We have another.
I won't. He's all the way down in North Carolina. But sometimes when I visit him, he's a very ebullient dog. And he runs around and gets, you know, dirt on his paws and stuff. Nothing wrong with that because he's out in a rural area where there's a lot of soil and stuff. And he comes running over, and I have to wear coveralls because he gets soil all over me. Not that it's the end of the world, but, you know, I can't keep cleaning my clothes every time I go out to play with him. He's very friendly and such. But, well, that's just an aside. But anyway, I picture these farmers, two different farmers. Could be a completely inaccurate conception. And I don't mean anything against them, but apparently, I gather from what you've said, that I've stumbled unwittingly upon a very sensitive issue. You see, I'm basically only up at WUSB here about once every 3 weeks, so I'm not as conscious. I mean, I do listen to the station when I'm at home, but I guess not being up here, I'm not privy to all of the subtleties
of programming. When you do come in here every 3 weeks, for the next 3 weeks, we have to answer letters, answer phone calls, because the things that you say during the brief time that you are here. And I have a feeling our work is, in fact, this is an appeal for volunteers who want to come in, answer the phones, and write some letters for us because of the backlash we are going to get. More lights are lit up on our phone than we have.
That's extraordinary. But I have to say this, though. Maybe it's because people don't like Idaho mentioned, since Long Island, I think, also still grows potatoes. And by the way, I think Long Island potatoes are fantastic.
Oh, well, now don't get Long Islanders involved in
well,
this.
But Long Island is actually, Suffolk County is actually a very rural county, which I think is great. I think rural areas are great. I think ex-urban areas are great. I think suburban areas are great. And I think urban areas are great. And I even think
everything's great.
I think everything is great. Yes, I'm just the perfect politician here. And I think that forests are great and such, you know, the areas that don't even have cleared land and such. So I'm not mentioning any of this with any disparagement towards any particular group of people or particular area or type of...
You're digging yourself in deep.
Type of geography.
Let me tell you what I think is great. After all this time, I still haven't finished the story about Idaho farmers now.
That's true.
Let's get on with that.
Sorry.
And then we'll get to a couple of phone calls here. Then we'll get to President Reagan.
Okay.
I promise. Sorry to keep you waiting, sir.
I'm sorry.
All right. Idaho farmers are offering to supply drought-stricken Iowa farmers with all the hay they need. But the Iowa Farm Bureau is having trouble finding volunteers to take the time necessary to travel to Idaho. The Bureau says the drought is forcing farmers to haul water and feed to cattle that normally would be grazing and drinking on their own. And that's, there's our Iowa, Idaho story.
And we do wish...
Does it have anything to do with Iran or Iraq?
Well, and we do wish, I'm sure. Well, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I think I speak for at least some of us here when I say that, in all sincerity, we hope that the farm situation works out for the best for all of the farmers.
Yes, certainly. Especially the Idaho and Iowa farmers.
Absolutely.
We understand they're upset. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. I think we're on hold again. Are we on hold somewhere? 632-6901.
Unless maybe it's a potato that called, an irate potato called us up and he just can't
talk.
Do
you hear the echo? I hear an echo.
Yes,
which
I do.
Which means somebody's holding
the phone up to the radio, so we're talking back to ourselves.
Hello. There's a question. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Turn down your radio, please.
Excuse me for a second. Does it make sense for me to engage the extension in here so I can talk to the person also?
You can try that if you want. Well, go ahead. I don't think there'll be any harm. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just waking up.
Well, you weren't on hold that long, were you? But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, same old thing as yesterday, 84. Jesus, Mary Chain, Chicago, 5 years later. Levee break, 82, April rain. But like Clint Eastwood says, don't have to know anything about limitations. Then again, how's Sally Field off the...
Sir?
Yes, 27, 130, 61, 11, 7, 119.
Sir, you realize you're not making any...
No, I don't do any drugs or anything.
You're not making any sense. You realize that, don't you?
Any sense?
You're not making any sense, and I doubt he's making any dollars either, but
the French lays in New Hampshire, anyway, the WLTA, I mean, they're like Frisco negative for some reason. They don't reply to me,
For some reason, I feel very comfortable with this kind of a call.
Yeah, I do, too. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
I guess Red Skies at Night's okay, but then again, in 1988 or... Then you say to yourself, like, I like cruising in my car. What about mankind using their feet to... since time began in the past 50 years, sitting
very,
down
very,
all their life.
Very important fact there. Very important.
You know, it's funny what this gentleman is saying.
Yeah.
Reminds me of...
I have a couple of words off of Gods of the Ancient Norsemen, George de Maison. That's a blank pick there. Oh, it's right here.
That reminds me of...
Lance, right here, that's pretty cool, right? I just had the paper in the book. I didn't write it from the book, but I didn't even look in the book much. May I think length you want, I saw you, but you weren't, not really. Reply to X, continence. Jesus Christ, I don't know.
Neither do we. But thanks very much for sharing that with us.
He sound, it's funny thing is, it immediately remind what the gentleman was saying immediately reminded me of elements of each of the major parties' political platforms. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if Eric can hear me right now, but oh, he can. But
why wouldn't I be able to hear you?
Well, I didn't know if perhaps you had your microphone still on. You had to step away.
Well, I just took a little trip outside, but then I came.
Well, that's okay.
I had the dog.
No problem. Oh yes, yeah, sure, sure.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, in the next 100 years.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up, sir.
He said in the next 100 years.
The next 100 years. The next 100 years, yes.
Constellation Opticuli will resemble Anne Boleyn.
Constellation Articuli?
Will resemble Anne Boleyn?
Where is that constellation? I don't know that one.
Well, it's... You know, of course, what it is. Please.
I know, of course, what?
You know, of course, what it is.
I do? Why do I?
Every schoolboy knows this.
Well, I might have been out that day, but tell us about this constellation.
It will take on the form resembling Anne Boleyn.
Okay, so?
It's a very interesting fact.
Why?
Well, she's dead.
True. Oh, no. No, sit. You can stay if you sit.
Does your dog have fleas?
I don't know. Just, like,
no, I don't think he liked, the dog liked that last remark.
Oh, he had the weather forecast. How nice.
He had the weather forecast.
He brought, it was an updated weather forecast. Nice.
See, I knew he'd redeem
maybe
himself.
Maybe
thank you very much.
The weather forecast.
Thank you. Well, how did he do that?
I think he hits it with his... One of his back legs as he leaves, as he walks out, he just slams the door.
Let's see if there's anything of interest tonight. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy and cool, lower around 60. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cool, high in the mid-70s. I approve of this weather. This is much better weather than last week.
It is. Much easier to take.
And the outlook for Monday, sunny and cool. This is great. This is great. I'm happy now. Well, sir, do you have anything else to say to us astronomically or otherwise? Excuse me?
You have no response to this.
The what?
You have no response to this.
Well, it's interesting, of course, but not all that interesting, you know?
Well,
I wish I could say more than that.
Could I get on the phone, or is that a problem? Well, what if I just pick up the receiver?
Well,
so
it is a problem.
Well, people can hear Jim if they keep their radio on a little bit, but if they turn it on a lot, then they'll get feedback.
Oh, they hear him better.
So, Jim, if you can talk and the person will hear you if he has his radio on a little bit.
Oh, okay. Does he have his radio on?
I'm not listening to the radio.
Ah, well,
but he must. But he somehow heard me.
Answered your question, so he must have heard.
That's interesting. Well, you see, what I was going to say is, in what way does he mean resemble Anne Boleyn? Resemble her essential form?
He hung up.
Well, or maybe resemble her facial features?
I think you were putting him on the spot there, and he did not want to do that.
Perhaps he's trying out for Joel Block's job. I don't know.
Let's try another call. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I wonder if those last two people had a little bit too much Robin Hitchcock and Laurie Anderson.
It's quite possible. There's a lot of that going around.
Anyway, being this is Brain Damage, I thought I found a article in the recent Thrasher magazine. Thrasher, anyway. But
go ahead.
It's with Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
And it's got a really interesting quote that you guys might, I don't know, enjoy. He says in one part, people lie to themselves every day. They flog themselves at work, and it makes them very nasty and very ill. It's sickness. Then the interviewer says, what do you think people can do to start changing this? He replies with this, it will be changed for them. Mercifully, reality will come in, and World War III will happen. Helter Skelter will fall down. You want to change this country? Have a war on these shores. Have an airstrike come in on San Francisco. Have people get loaded into trains and get shipped off to the Grand Canyon to get gassed. Then social consciousness will be stirred. Lock and load. Bring me a string of ears you've cut off of dead pigs, and then we'll start talking about change.
Now, what's that from?
That's from Thrasher Magazine, from an article with an interview with Henry Rollins, former lead singer of Black Flag.
That's a lighthearted outlook, wouldn't you say?
Well, I like it. I thought it was nice. It got my blood flowing. What do you think of it, caller?
It's interesting. I think it's kind of true that basically there's so much apathy that what you need now is some sort of blast in someone's face to get them awake.
You have to wake people up. That's what the 60s were all about. You woke people up there, and they reacted.
But now what happened to the 60s is they've all settled down, and they found out that you can't feed your children on peace and love, and you have to go out and
well,
work.
Well, the people involved in the 60s weren't the ones trying to feed their children. They were the ones who were just sort of waking up and exploring the world. We have a whole new cast of characters now. What are they doing? You know, why should they worry at the age of 18 about feeding a family? They should be thinking a little bit and trying to change things. That's what you're doing?
Basically.
And
it really ticks me off the fact that in this next election, less than half of the population will vote, while I, under 18, want to vote, but I can't.
Yeah, that's true more often than it's not, I think.
That's a very good point.
And
I'm going to be the one most affected by what goes on, because I've got college coming up, and I basically want a president who, among other things, will realize my need for financial aid, and, you know, I can't choose someone to represent me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, half these people are going to be dead.
Well, I'll tell you this, one person, one vote, it sounds nice, but, obviously it doesn't do much. What does do much is if you talk to people, if you try to get out and reach people and get them to vote, that's where most of the power comes in, and no one's going to stop you from doing that, no matter how old you are.
But if you took all the people who are going to be needing financial aid in the next 4 years for college, you'd find a pretty big voting force.
That's true. But since you can't vote, you can lobby. You can wake people up and get them to vote for you. So it's not a closed door completely.
No, and that's very true, Eric. And I was going to say as well, for the caller and people like him in his situation, too young to vote, but with strong ideas about things that they'd want political figures to take action on. Even though he can't vote this year, he could, if he wished, lobby not only other people who can vote to vote the way he would like people to vote, but he could directly lobby political figures, especially those who would ultimately represent him.
Sure.
Because he could explicitly or implicitly indicate that when he is of voting age, he would be more inclined to vote for those people if they ended up taking action
and
acceptable now.
Not only that, you can write letters to newspapers, local newspapers, island newspapers. You can do all kinds of things like that. That reaches people. That affects them. You may not see the effects and the changes that take place, but people do read these things as a fact.
Absolutely.
And you can actually have more power not voting if you're active than if you just go to the poll and vote and go home again.
That's true. You can have more of an influence in some instances. And the point that he does raise, quoting that article, is a very good point. I would doubt that the person quoted really wants to see death and destruction. And people being carted off, etc. But it is actually an interesting point that suggesting the possibility that a real cataclysmic or near cataclysmic event might be what's needed. Although I personally wouldn't want to see myself.
No one wants to.
I don't think so. But I think that from a metaphorical standpoint, I think it's a very interesting point that it's a matter of people needing to wake up. Possibly before cataclysmic events take place, and realize that there is the possibility of influencing people to take action that can avoid cataclysm and can lead to productive change.
There's so many things that can go wrong now that if we leave things in the hands of just the politicians and be apathetic and go about our lives, if we just leave it in the hands of the politicians, looking back at history, something's going to go wrong. and I don't know, I'll probably get off the phone soon because you guys want to get to the Reagan thing and all that.
Yes, Reagan's waiting.
But I'll just close with another Henry Rollins quote.
Go ahead.
Question is, do you think people are inherently evil? He answers, well, I don't believe in evil, but I do believe in weakness. All that bad, blank, comes from weakness. A cop pounding on some Mexican boy's face into the hood of his car till he vomits all over. It's just because the cop is weak. He's insecure, so he's got to affirm himself on someone else's flesh. People who are very used to a comfortable existence. In Beverly Hills, everyone has a 100-foot yard lawn, but you go down 10 exits to down the 405s to East L.A., and you've got 80 people living in a four-bedroom apartment. You're not going to get the guy in Beverly Hills to give up half of his front yard so someone can set up a shack in it. That's weak. People have had it too good for too long. Now times are changing. Natural resources are running out, and the economy is bad. Newsweek and American Express and Moonlighting and Dolly Parton and everyone else will tell you that America is just fine. Well, it's not fine. And from that inconsistency, you see people doing a lot of sadomasochistic blank. People lie to themselves every day. They flog themselves at work, and it makes them very nasty and very ill. It's sickness.
Not bad. Now, give us the name of that magazine one more time.
Thrasher magazine. It's basically a skate magazine, but they do have some articles in here which are pretty interesting. Focuses basically on skating, on skateboarding, but in each issue they have interviews with bands, basically underground bands, punk, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Why do punk people like to ride skateboards so much?
It started off because number one, skateboarding, I think, is release of energy, of the stuff that's kept inside. It's a bit creative with all the different things that you do. It's frowned upon by the law and adults, because in a lot of places skating isn't allowed, and that sort of ties into punk in a way. But today, it's a lot more trendy, and you know, now everyone's got their skateboard and their nice Banana Republic shirts and stuff like that. They walk down the street and they're all the different colors. I don't know. It's a lot different than what it used to be.
Uh-huh.
It's not a skate. It's a trend now, and you know, it's now trendy to have a skateboard in your video or in your song or in your album cover or in your movie or in whatever.
You know, I like roller skates. I don't see any of those around though. I don't see kids.
Oh, it's roller disco. Where have you been?
Well, I mean, in the street. You don't see kids going down the street on roller skates anymore. I used to do that when I was like 4 years old. What's that?
That's because they got their skateboards.
Yeah,
it's skateboards. Trendy to skateboard now.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with roller skates?
It's interesting how...
It's not trendy, that's what's wrong.
Well, it's interesting how when symbols of protest develop a validation by a larger mass of people, the original symbolism is diluted.
That's what happened to heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened to blue jeans too.
Yes.
Well, we got to go to another call. Thanks
very
much.
Thank you very much. Those are very interesting observations.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
632-6901. You're tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook. We're going to take one more call before we go to Reagan, and then we'll go to Reagan. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello.
You know, I appreciate people who call up and try to entertain us.
Well, this person obviously was waiting a long time. We'll give him about another 10 seconds, and then then we'll go on to something else. But people, you know, they put us on hold. They carry on with their lives while they're waiting for the phone to pick up. Is anyone there? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'll ask the question one more time. Is anyone there? I hate to hang up on someone who's been ringing the phone for so long. Well, that's it. I'm sorry. I had to do that. Anyway, it's 11 o'clock. You're tuned to Brain Damage. We're on the air for about another hour. Now, we talked before about the speech this week by one Ronald Wilson Reagan, president of these here United States. Jim, you didn't catch any of the speech, did you?
No, I didn't catch that particular speech.
Well, it was kind of summing up what has happened over the last 8 years and what Bush is going to be all about in the coming God knows how many years, if in fact it does reach that stage. Now, we've taken parts of the speech. We obviously can't take all the speech because it was about half an hour long or so, and we've cut it down to about, oh, I guess about 9 minutes or so. And basically, I think what you'll find is a certain way of presenting himself, a rather disturbing way. Now, you know, people say, well, you know, they're talking liberal talk. These are liberals talking now. And, you know, I don't like to be categorized in any way. But, you know, you listen to what the guy says. You listen to the way he gives his ideas. And you have to say, wait a minute, what is this person talking about? What is he saying here? And if you listen to this speech, you'll hear some very disturbing things. For instance, at the very beginning, there's lewd sexual remarks. I don't mean just tasteful, tasteless. I mean, you know, really. And if you had watched him on TV, you would have seen like the strange look he gave when he made that joke about what they're going to do after the reception and that kind of thing. The president of the United States.
What did I miss?
You missed one heck of a speech there. There's more. There's more.
You mean while I was a bluting, he was.
You will hear the president actually bragging about making poor people poorer and rich people richer. You will hear implications of the systematic elimination of liberals. Murder, I'm talking about here. Actual wiping out of people. Now, you know, people say, oh, God, the liberals, they're getting all hysterical again and, you know, making things up that don't exist. Well, folks, this is the living proof here. This is it. This is the speech. You can listen to it yourself. And then you call us afterwards and you tell us, is that just our imagination? Or is this president of the United States actually saying these things? I mean, it's enough to make grown men pause, you know?
How about kids?
Well, I don't know. I would assume kids, too. But, folks, if you're driving, stop the car now, because what you're going to hear is disturbing. If you're not driving, sit down. Shut the kids up. Shut everyone up in your house. Turn down whatever else is going, TV set or, you know, other kinds of sound generators, and say, folks, listen to this. Damn it, listen to this. This is important. This is important to you. And after you listen to this speech, or excerpts thereof of this speech, I want you to rethink all of your values, all of everything that's important to you. Rethink it all. And then get back to us. Call us up and tell us how this is going to affect you.
Here at WUSB Stony Brook.
Right. And so, without any more flourishes, the President of the United States.
To this convention and fellow citizens, America needs Barbara Bush as First Lady. Nancy and I have been enjoying the finest of southern hospitality since we arrived here yesterday. And believe me, after that reception, and with all due respect to Cajun cuisine, cooking, and New Orleans jazz, nothing could be hotter than the delegates in this hall. Except maybe a victory celebration on November 8th. In that spirit, I think we can be forgiven if we give ourselves a little pat on the back for having made Republican a proud word once again. And America a proud nation again. Nancy and I are so honored to be your guests tonight, to share a little of your special time, and we thank you. You don't become President of the United States. Having temporary custody of the greatest and the first three words in our Constitution, we the people. It is the American people who endured the great challenge of national calamity. So, this convention brings back so many memories to a fellow like me. I have to confess, I wasn't actually there. And my fellow citizens, the road has been glorious indeed. Eight years ago, we met at a time when America was an economic promise. And today we meet in a time of economic chaos. Now I think we can be forgiven. As the saying goes, I've been doing a little remembering of my own. Before we came to Washington, Americans had just suffered the two worst back-to-back years of inflation in 60 years. Those are the facts. And as John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. Facts are stupid things. Stubborn things, I should say. And then there was the misery index. Last month in Atlanta at their convention, the Soviet Union had begun to engage in reckless aggression when our friends last month talked of unemployment, despair, hopelessness, economic weakness. I wondered why on earth they were talking about 1978 instead of 1988. Now we hear talk that it's time for a change. Well, ladies and gentlemen, another friendly reminder. We are the change. We challenge the failed policies of the past because we believe that a society is great because of promises made by its government, not because of progress made by its people. And that was our change. We said something shocking. We initiated reform of the unfairness in our tax system. And what do you know? The top 5% of earners have been freed from paying any income tax at all. And millions of earners at the bottom of the scale are paying a higher percentage of the total tax revenue than they ever had before. That was our change. So together, we pulled out of a tailspin. America is working again, just... And just since our 1984 convention, we rebuilt our armed forces. We liberated Libyan terrorism. Treaty in world history to eliminate an entire class of U.S. and Soviet liberal elites who loudly proclaimed that it's time for a change. And the liberals have said no. Today, I'm proud to say that we have eliminated so many, and George was there.
All right, that's just about as much as we can take here, so we're going to take your calls now, 632-6901. Oh, boy. Jim, you didn't catch it on TV, but
no, I didn't.
You caught it on the radio. So,
yeah.
What did you think?
Well,
was I exaggerating? I said the guy was saying all these outrageous things, and he certainly did.
Well,
you know what I thought was funny though. If there are any funny points in that speech, it was when he was trying unsuccessfully. I don't know if it was apparent that's what he was doing, but he was trying unsuccessfully to get people to chant "Facts are stubborn things." And he said it about three or four times, and then he finally messed it up himself and said facts are stupid things. And whoops, I meant to say stubborn, and then he just sort of gave up the whole thing right there.
What I liked was the part where he got a thunderous ovation, deafening roar went up from the crowd, of a deafening roar of approval when he said, so?
Yeah. Yeah, he said something to the effect of Americans have been going through hell or something like that. And they just said, so? And if you'd seen it on TV, you would have seen him just holding up his arms. So what do you want from me, you know?
Wow. I'll tell you something, the press certainly missed out on this one.
Well, they, I saw the reporting of it. And, of course, no one really focused on the outrageous things. Like, as I was saying before, the sexism at the beginning, those lewd remarks saying, you know, after this reception, and then that look he gave, and then
Gee.
You know, everybody, of course, cheering and nudging themselves and things like that. You know, the remarks about Southern hospitality.
Wow.
You know, me and Nancy have enjoyed the best in Southern hospitality, and I believe there's nothing quite as hot as the delegates in this room, or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was really, you know.
I did hear that.
It gave me something to think about. Also, his admission that he wasn't actually there for most of the time that he was here, supposedly. Did you catch the point, though, where he said you aren't made president? You don't
become president
or something like that,
but
you hold the three words of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of nothing more than holding the Constitution hostage, and he wrapped that up so well. I mean, you have to say this for the guy. He is honest. He does say what's true, and of course, that's what gets him in so much trouble. The tax reforms, though. What did you think of those?
That, well, he certainly, I certainly heard him say what I heard him say.
Uh-huh. That the rich people aren't paying any taxes at all.
And the poor people are paying more than they ever were paying before.
There you go. I think that's all the evidence we need.
Well, well, I suppose, I mean, that we did hear that.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. I didn't see him give or hear him give
quite a speech.
A speech.
Quite a speech.
The speech live when it was broadcast. I was getting some shut eye and.
Well, I mean, fortunately, we were able to record it here at the radio station. I mean, I was in shock watching it at my house.
I'm
just saying, my God, I don't believe this. I mean, I've said that many times before, but this time I said, wow. I mean, I've got a, you know, I've got a responsibility here. I just wish we could have broadcast the entire thing, but of course we had to cut it down, you know, because we don't want to spend all that time airing this, so we did have to cut out certain parts of that. The Libyan terrorist part, what do you think of that? We've liberated Libyan terrorism.
Well,
And the cheers he got after the chanting of terrorist, terrorist. I don't know if you heard that.
I heard the cheers that went up when he talked about liberating Libyan terrorism. Yes, I did hear that. And as I said, I didn't even watch the speech when it was live, so this is the only contact I've been able to have with it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's our government in action. Now we'd like to hear from you. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, all right. I have Maestro, Atonic, Snickers, Dark Blue, Ithaca Lies is a good song, LaDRE in Long Island, I was thinking of Astronomy to Mind Pink Floyd is good.
632-6901, area code 516.
Eric,
please rescue us.
Actually, Sugar Wells, I'm sorry. I don't know why they never play that thing. But
Eric, go ahead.
I got a... sorry. You want to let him speak?
No, I want to let you speak.
Please
give us a call. 632-6901.
I'm absolutely
hurry
impressed.
Up.
This guy has been able to accomplish, all by his lonesome, what some people have to use... hours, or rather reams of tape and editing techniques to accomplish.
Who, Reagan?
No, the person that was just on the phone.
Oh.
It sounds like somebody took something that he said and then changed it around using tape and razors splicing tape and such.
I mean, maybe that's what's calling us. I don't know. Machines have called us before.
That's quite so.
But if you're a machine, if you're a human, please call. I think what we've done is we've stunned our audience so much they can't even pick up the phone.
They must be absolutely.
And they're probably making the important calls first to their loved ones, to their congressmen, to find out just, you know, where things stand. I mean, yes, this was disturbing, but folks, if you call us and broadcast your views, then you can reach more people, and I think that's probably in the best interest of everybody, don't you? Yes, well, call us in any event, 632-6901, area code 516. Do it for your country. Do it for me, please. I mean, you know, I don't want to suffer in silence here. I mean, we shouldn't suffer in silence after hearing a speech like that.
No, we shouldn't. Do you want to... Maybe we should. You want to try suffering in silence for 5 seconds?
Sure.
That was interesting,
that was
huh?
Fun, yes.
I kind of like that, you know? You know, something, it just goes to show you, if you constantly hear the phrase, don't suffer in silence, or I don't want to suffer in silence, and nobody, I guess, has ever really tried, because it's a lot of fun.
I'll tell you, I didn't suffer at all. In fact, it was rather peaceful for me.
Yeah, it was, definitely.
We do have one call. It might be a silly call. If it is, folks, we'd like to have another call coming in so we can go to it. 632-6901, area code 516. Our country is falling apart. Come on.
Well, I want to say, do you have a transcript made available of the speech?
If folks want a transcript of the speech, they can send us a cassette and a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we will do it free of charge.
Yes, very nice.
Send that to Brain Damage, care of WUSB, State University at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. And again, our phone number is 632-6901.
You know...
And call us, or I'll get mad and erase the tape.
I
don't want to do that.
No, this is a small point. But I'm interested about the address that we've always been giving out here.
Yeah.
I've been doing it, too, so I'm not criticizing other people, but... State University at Stony Brook, then Stony Brook, New York. You think we could take a chance and just give out the address State University, Stony Brook, New York? Because, in other words, I don't think there's like a...
Well, Jim, it might end up...
Nebraska State University is located here in Stony
Brook. Well, it could very well somebody would find another state university, a state university store or something, and it would go there.
Oh, I see.
It's all kinds of weird... Or somebody,
good point.
Somebody named, whose last name is University.
You're right, it could be a guy named State University, yeah.
Don't put it past anyone.
No, I'm sorry, I stand corrected.
632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I just really call, and I'm tired, and I called before, but...
Well, why do you think other people, I mean, did we scare people or something? I mean, that was,
What happened was, is the first guy who called, you know, said they're going, right, what he did is, there are these other people who I guess are impressionable out there, they figured, wow, something new and different, so they decided to call, and he started a trend. Anyway, but getting back to Ronald McReagan.
Yeah. Did you hear the speech?
Yeah, I heard the speech. Has anyone noticed that this guy's senile?
Well, I don't like to, you know, to make personal judgments on people, but I do know this. With Ronald Reagan, you can just sit back and let him make all your points for you, no matter what points those may be.
I mean, this guy does not run our country. Believe it, I mean, he doesn't run our country. There has got to be this whole barrage of people who pull strings in the background, but this guy, I'm telling you right now, does not run our country because he can't decide what channel to watch, much less run a country.
Well, it's too bad because in D.C. there aren't that many channels. Now, certainly nothing to compare with New York.
Speaking of channels, I did hear once the how old is Reagan? 78?
Oh, God, I don't know. How old is Reagan?
I think he's 78.
He's up there.
Might be 77. Yeah, he's 77.
Something to the effect that Ronald Reagan's 78. My grandfather's 78. We won't let him touch the remote to the TV.
Well, that's something to think about.
Well, although, certainly...
What could he do if he touched the remote to the TV?
Possibly. You ever see the Land of Confusion video?
No.
By Genesis?
No,
I haven't.
Well, in that one, he calls for the nurse and nukes the world. Maybe he could pull another thing like that.
Yes, but we're talking about a TV remote here in a supposedly normal house.
Oh, figure. It's the White House. Things have got to be connected up to other things.
Uh-huh.
So, say he goes to Channel 4. He might be going to DEFCON 4.
I see.
Well, you know, it's a very funny line about not even letting him touch the remote control, but I wouldn't want people to get the idea that we're suggesting that all people who are, let's say, over 70 should be objects of...
Ridicule.
And I don't think you meant that either.
Unless
but,
they
you know,
earn it. They have to earn
well,
it.
Well, yes, and say, I think it's a very individual kind of thing.
Reagan has definitely earned it.
Well,
Reagan has messed up so many times, and he sits there. And, I mean, what he did with Iran, with the Iran-Contra affair, was 100 times worse than Watergate. 100 times. Okay? And he just sat there and smiled and said, I didn't know about it. And he got right through, and that's so wrong. They should have crucified him. They should have hung him up by his nuts. They should have just, like, slit his throat. Wah!
Okay, well,
this is getting silly, but no, never mind.
I'm sure you're speaking metaphorically.
You heard the speech.
Yes, I heard the speech.
Wrap up the speech for us. What do you think of it?
Well, let's see. First of all, I don't know about the sexual remarks, but I don't know. Saying that, first of all, I heard a splice in there somewhere.
Well, we did have to cut bits of it.
Yeah, but when it went from the hottest thing in this room, the hottest thing splice convent or the whatever they're called.
Yeah, well, the reason for that is we do have to use tape sometimes that has been used before, and sometimes there are splices in there, and they make words appear to jump.
Okay,
you just got to be careful about that.
But I think he wasn't saying that sexually. I think he was just saying they're really hot and they're really raging and they're really ready to go.
Uh huh.
So I don't know if that was sexual, but that thing when he started talking about how great it was that the top percent, the ones who have the most money, don't have to pay anything, while the bottom guys have to pay the most.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watched.
Be proud of that.
If you watch it on TV, if you saw the gleam in his eye, and the reason I knew that was a sexual remark was the look in his eye there, the way his whole eyebrow just sort of, you know, went up with kind of a nudge nudge wink wink type thing. You know, it's like we're gonna have fun later. Me and Nancy, you know, the Southern hospitality and all that kind of thing. So it's not actions befitting, you know, a president. I don't think so, anyway. Others would disagree with me.
But the deal is that, in case you haven't noticed, almost all of the news from about mid-spring, the president has not appeared in any of the news.
Uh-huh.
It's all been Bush and Dukakis and Jackson and whoever.
Well, maybe this speech is an attempt to get back into the headlines.
Possibly. Another thing that bothers me is the fact that Dukakis' running mate, the Democrats are supposed to be the good guys, Dukakis' running mate, Benson,
is conservative.
Not only is he conservative, but he's married to a PMRC creature.
Uh-oh. Okay, I didn't know that.
Let me just run downstairs, because I have the article in an East Coast Rocker. I'll be right back.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold and go to another call.
Okay. And, you going to come back?
Yeah. I'll put you on hold. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. What is going on here? 632-6901.
Oh, hey, I like that song. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
I do too.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And if we let it play through, Eric, we'll save scratching our copy here at the station.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
I was just listening to the speech there.
Uh-huh.
And the speech by Reagan that you gave there?
Yeah.
What's the deal with all that splicing and everything?
Well, as I said before, sometimes we do have to cut little bits out because, you know, of time constraints and things like that. Now, the speech was about 45 minutes, and we had to trim it down to 9 minutes, so you would have heard a few splices in there as we cut extraterrestrial phrases out of there.
Yeah.
And also, as I mentioned before, we do have to use old tapes sometimes, so occasionally you'll hear splices in the middle of nothing.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that. It's, you know, you can't blame us for being poor here, but that's just the way it is sometimes.
But, no, I saw the speech on TV.
Uh-huh.
And the part about the taxes,
uh-huh.
I noticed it was kind of different there on the radio. I don't know if that's your idea of a joke or what. I thought it was funny.
I don't think taxes are a joke. Do you think that taxes are a joke, Jim?
No, I don't think taxes are a joke. Don't get me wrong.
We don't think taxes are a joke here, my friend.
Well, no, on the speech there, he said that on your radio show,
uh-huh.
that the richer people don't pay taxes.
Yeah, that was
the other way around on TV, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm. Well, you know,
it might have been, I don't know, maybe it's an error in your splicing.
Well, sometimes, sir, and I don't mean to sound too pessimistic here, but sometimes you'll find that the big media people, ABC, CBS, NBC, sometimes cover for the president, sometimes say, well, this is what he meant to say. And they've gotten very good at actually changing what he says almost instantaneously, you know, so you got to watch for that.
Yeah.
And you got to always look at things with a skeptical eye. And that's how we do things here at USB. We're skeptical about everything.
Can we go?
I see Jim is looking at me in skepticism already.
No.
It happens. Other than that, sir, do you have any other feelings on the speech?
Well, I happen to be myself a conservative Republican.
Uh huh.
And also the part about blowing away or how is it put? The taking out of liberals, the elimination it was.
I was rather concerned with that. I don't like to consider myself anything, but I do know people who consider themselves liberal, and I don't want to see them get killed by Republicans, and I'm sure you don't either, being a conservative Republican.
I wouldn't say that I'm a psychopath out to kill liberals or anything like that.
Well, that's good, because, you know,
yeah, because that
nobody
would really
wants to
be good
psycho.
If I admitted that on radio or anything like that, you know. But I don't know. I don't understand what...
No, it's disturbing. It was a disturbing speech to me, too. We all felt kind of stunned by it. And, you know, your feelings of confusion are normal.
I see.
So I don't think you have to, you know, seek counseling or anything like that, although, you know, I always recommend that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. What town are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Ridge.
Ridge?
Oh. It's like a tiny little dot on the map.
Well, no, actually Ridge has a lot of land area. And, you know, I haven't been to Ridge all year long. Not all year have I been to Ridge, and it's high time I visited Ridge.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
Well, there's not too much to visit out here.
Well, there's not too much to do, I know that, but still, to say, here I am in Ridge, I don't know, this is kind of poetic.
It's nice, yeah, I like it.
Well, thanks for calling, sir. Did you have something to say, Jim?
Yeah, can we hear more of Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I don't know about that, but...
Maybe I'll just sing it to myself here in the...
Well, thanks for calling and for giving us your opinions.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So
Jim, are you with us?
Yes.
He is sort of illustrating the confusion that we all feel at a time like this.
At a time like what?
Has the big guy gone nuts or what, you know?
Which big guy? There are a lot of big... Let me tell you something, Eric.
The big guy.
The reason why I asked you to specify was that in my life, personally,
uh-huh.
I have to deal with a lot of nutty big guys.
Uh-huh.
Two articles that you might be interested in.
Uh-huh.
They're both under the hard news section. One is under the title, NARAS Prez Blasts Polls.
What the hell does that mean?
We'll find out.
Okay.
The president of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences has verbally blasted politicians who use rock and roll as a political football to score points for the voters.
Who uses rock and roll as a political football?
Listen, in an interview with syndicated columnist Marilyn Beck, NARAS President Michael Green took broad swipes at Ronald Reagan, Jesse Jackson, Democratic Vice President hopeful Senator Lloyd Benson, and others who smear rock and roll in order to get headlines.
Excuse me, what is NARAS?
National Academy of the Recording Arts and Sciences.
They give out the Grammys.
Oh, they give out the Grammys. Okay, go ahead.
Ronald Reagan links record companies with pornographers hiding behind the First Amendment, Green told Beck. Jesse Jackson started his run for presidency with an attack on sex rock, blaming it for teenage pregnancy. Green also noted that Benson, who's running with presidential candidate Michael Dukakis, is married to a member of the board of the directors at the Parental Music Resource Center. The PMRC is a group of senators' wives who have sought warning labels on albums and industry sanctions on artists who put out, quote, objectionable, unquote, music. Beck says Green is calling for a music industry drive to combat record labeling and, quote, other censorship on the congressional level, unquote. Now, here's another one under the called Severe Music Censorship Bill Being Pushed in Washington. Subtitle, Nazi Germany, Here We Come. Here we go. Music industry officials are voicing opposition to a proposed bill in Washington, D.C., which would allow the federal government to confiscate assets or property of record companies that release record albums containing what local authorities deem, quote, obscene, unquote, content. Entitled the Child Protection and Obscenity Enforcement Act, the bill has received massive support from members of both the U.S. Congress and Senate. The proposed legislation calls for a government seizure of, quote, any property, real or personal, unquote, used or intended to be used to promote, quote, obscene, unquote, albums. The bill would allow the government to confiscate record companies' main desks, The bill would allow the government to confiscate record companies' main offices, desks, business property, warehouse, computers, or any other possessions used for marketing such items. Other items which could be confiscated would include any property held, quote, traceable to gross profits, obtained from, quote, unquote, sale of such albums.
Now, is this, can you tell us the status of this bill?
I'm looking forward to...
A bill that would actually allow the seizure of record companies, their computers, their desks, just because of albums that they're distributing that are...
It says here, 237 legislators have spoken in support of the bill. Thus far, the only group to have testified against this bill has been the ACLU, the Media Coalition, and the Recording Industry Association of America. No elected officials have spoken against the bill. The RIAA has released a statement noting that the music industry shares a, quote, common interest in preserving the artistic freedom of expression, unquote.
Well, that's downright scary, and you've left me with a bitter taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot. I mean, I really appreciate that.
Oh, would you rather have me sitting here going, my toes are red, I like the sky?
Well, I'm more worried about what Reagan said tonight, but now you've given me more to worry about. Of course, I was already worried about this, but now it seems like it's even worse than I thought.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, well, it's nice, too, sometimes. But... Well, what do you recommend we do, sir?
What do we recommend we do? Vote. Get out there, vote. Get out there, voice.
Yeah, but if we vote for the Democrats, we get the husband of somebody in the PMRC. If we vote for the Republicans, we get crazy rhetoric. What do we do?
What do we do? Form our own party.
Well,
can I bring the streamers?
Well, you might just as well.
I mean, what can we? normally do. We can lobby. We can sit up there and point at the Constitution and yell and scream at the politicians to get out there and do something.
Uh-huh.
We can say what we feel. We can go on radio programs such as this and speak. We can write to the same thing that you suggested when I said that I'm too young to vote.
Uh-huh.
So, it's the same thing, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah. We should do all that kind of thing, but after a while, you know, I just sort of get numb to it all.
But that's the thing. You have to stay angry. You have to have things like that to keep you angry, to prod you in the butt, to keep you going.
Uh-huh.
Didn't that other person sound a little bit young to be a conservative Republican?
You can never be too young to be a conservative Republican. I mean,
well, I think nowadays
I would think that youth would be the last bastion, or not the last bastion, but I like saying last bastion, so, you know.
Well, hey, let's all say it for a while.
Okay,
last bastion.
Say it.
Last bastion.
Okay.
Refuse.
I would think that youth would be some sort of where we don't have to worry about half the things that adults have to worry about, you know, taxes and such. So I would think that we would be a little bit more towards liberalism and.
You can never generalize about things like that.
Well, I can understand why the caller would think that, but I agree, Eric, that it depends on the circumstances. It depends upon the time in history, and it depends on a whole mixture of social, economic, and political circumstances as to the proportion of liberalism versus conservatism in any particular age group.
Well,
and nowadays I think there's more of a likelihood that a more substantial percentage than, let's say, 10, 20 years ago of so-called youth of America could be conservative.
Well,
which is possible, given their perceptions and their values and what they how they interact with one another and with people in other ages.
Plus, in many instances, it's simply rebellion against what their parents say, or
what their
peers say. Even although it's a lot harder to rebel against your peers. So you know, you can never predict it, though. That's the whole point. You can never predict what people are going to do, and that's, you know.
But it's scary that my generation is growing up with people like Hulk Hogan and Rambo as their heroes.
Uh-huh.
Instead of Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
I don't think anyone's generation grew up with Gandhi as a hero.
I think not certainly portrayed by
mass media that way.
Yeah, but still, I think that looking back and what they teach us in school and such, that perhaps we can look back. Because, if you know, they always say this history will repeat itself, and you have to look back on the people. I don't know. It's just, I don't know, I'm kind of angry at the moment.
Well, I suggest you go and let out your anger.
So, repeat Last Bastion several times. But no, seriously, I don't mean to make fun. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm not really meaning to make fun of you, and I think that it's laudable that you're concerned, and regardless of whatever your political opinion is, whether you would consider yourself a liberal or conservative or moderate or whatever, I think that the important, very important points, among the very important points that you've raised, is one of awareness. I think that what's important is that people not become apathetic and that they take a more active interest. And I think that your interest in doing that is very laudable, and I think that's very important for you, not just now, but when you'll get older as well.
Sir, I want to thank you for calling. We do have to go to other calls now.
Sure.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901, area code 516. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello. Not again. This is crazy.
Maybe he doesn't have the record ready yet.
We'll get the record ready.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Is anyone there?
We're waiting.
Kitchen door.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
In the kitchen light. Should I leave the door open or
not? Well, I don't know. It depends. If you have to carry something with both hands, you're probably better off leaving the kitchen door open, unless it's one of those swinging things that you can push.
I would keep the kitchen door closed myself, only because you never know what's in the kitchen, and certainly you don't want things that aren't in the kitchen to get into the kitchen.
That's true, but what are the relative...
The kitchen is the most important room in the house. That's where everyone congregates, that's where all the food is kept, and that's where a lot of neat appliances are.
That's for sure.
So you don't want outside influences disturbing that.
No, that's a good point.
Any other questions, sir? Excuse me?
The white pickup truck in the backyard. No one in the neighborhood owns it. It's brand new.
No one in the neighborhood owns the backyard. It's brand new.
That's 50 feet wide. 1281 Bridgeport Avenue, Connecticut. I ran this thing.
Do you think this caller is calling from Connecticut?
Yeah, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Bridgeport, Connecticut. Wow, I know. I know about Bridgeport.
You sound a little disjointed. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes. I guess the studio number, yeah.
Could you pick up the phone? We're having a little problem.
No, I think it's appropriate this way. I think this makes more sense, actually.
You think it
is enough, yeah.
It's like speaking to another being from another world.
kind of hot, heated up, you know.
There we go. Okay. It must be in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Wow, how about that? That's
something.
Maybe you better go back to the speakerphone. Sorry.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Howdy over Long Island,
Well, we're all the way over here on Long Island, you know.
And you're in Bridgeport, huh?
All the way
ferry right
the
away. How do you like living in New England?
Well, they have a good shelter in Burlington, Vermont, 19th North Street or something. But I'm not into doing that. But I travel. I do some traveling once in a while. But basically, Windraker soundtrack is a hell of a good. Album.
Oh, that's nice.
Sounds good to me.
Do you have it there?
No. But I have Out of the Blue Electric Light Orchestra double album. What does the guy in the middle look like? You don't know, you know?
Hmm.
You never know.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Maybe. No, hey, Eric, I think we ought to adopt this style for the rest of the program. What do you think?
I don't like the song by Lou Reed, Hey Man, What's Your Style? How do you get your kicks for a living? I don't know.
Maybe we should move back and forth in front of the microphone.
Can you beat this? 632-6901, area code 516.
Should we do this?
I'd like to see if you could.
Sun or the song by Lou Reed, There's Always the Sun, or Who Loves the Rain, Who Says It Brings May Flowers. That's a cool song. Actually, the rock group The Move was... the biggest thing in England right before the Beatles, but now you get a lot of new acid rock ripping off Steppenwolf guitar, you know, pretty much sort of like that. You know?
Mm. Mm.
Be careful.
Yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have left the kitchen door
the
open. You're absolutely right.
I said be careful. He steps on a dog. Can you believe that? A dog's sleeping there, and I stepped on it.
Wow.
Woke him up.
Wow.
Yeah, would you believe I, when I was 18, I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey, honorable discharge before basic was even over, 5-minute mile flat.
I would believe
with
that.
With the shoes and pants on.
I would believe that.
Yeah. I don't know.
What, do you mind talking about what...
Ithical Eyes is a good song on DRE, Long Island.
That's good, but getting back to the basic training, if you don't mind my asking...
Yeah.
And I would understand if you didn't wish to answer. Why did you say that 5 minutes into or so into the beginning of your basic training, you were honorably discharged?
No, about 7 weeks.
Oh, how come?
Six and a half, 7 weeks.
How come you were honorably discharged just after that time? And if you don't mind my asking.
Apparently the lieutenant colonel told me after I did extensive... written test that at this time I guess the Army is not for you, and he told me 2 years later I could go back in, but now I'm 27, I'm not 18, but I could knock out correlating push-ups better than I could at 18, but I still smoke though, but cigarettes.
Are you thinking of going back? Or is it too late to go back now?
No, I think you could be 32 to... before they don't accept 32, then they don't accept you. But the funny thing about an M16, I didn't touch it, but, you know, I was always around the whole scene. But you could flip a switch, and that's like 12 seconds of spray, 200 rounds, 12 seconds. And it could jam up very easy. It's all plastic. The whole thing is plastic.
Fascinating. Well, sir, thank you very much for
one
calling
last
us.
Thing. Conan issue 58. He went downhill after that because he didn't bring her back to Cimarea, you know.
I understand. Thanks for calling.
Take
care.
Good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
632-6901. Is it me or are the callers getting what's the word? More intense? More dedicated to their fields?
I guess so. I guess so, and we have to hand it to them.
Yes, but
I don't know.
What is it that we hand to them?
I don't know. I'm looking around here
fumbling furiously to find something.
632-6901. If we get a call in the next 15 seconds, I will take the call. If we don't get a call in the next 15 seconds, I will read the article about Tompkins Square. So it's up to you, folks. 632-6901, area code 516.
Yes, you can determine WUSB's programming with a simple phone call.
A simple
Four,
phone call. I'm not asking for anything
three,
more.
Two,
well, actually, we have about 7 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if the people haven't started dialing by now, it's too late because it takes that long to get over here. Well, 1 second left, 0 seconds left, and, well, I'm afraid it's too late. I just know as soon as I start reading this article, that phone's going to light up. Yeah, I just know it. Well, it's definitely too late now.
You want to suffer in silence for a bit?
Yeah, five more seconds.
5 more seconds? Okay, let's go.
Oh, that was good.
That is fantastic.
I like doing that.
I'm so sorry. I never tried that before.
That's really good. Also, you do a classical show. I'm surprised you don't do that more often.
Yeah, I guess somehow, yeah, you would associate the two. But you see, my persona on the mic and off the mic during the classical show is completely different. Two completely different persona.
Yeah,
on the mic,
keep my persona out of it.
Yeah, well, sometimes it, I saw someone about that, but a physician, but he couldn't do anything about it. When I'm on the mic, generally I maintain a very staid atmosphere. But when I'm off the mic, what people don't realize is that first of all, I wear a party hat. I have a noisemaker in my mouth at all times.
Yeah, you look ridiculous, by the way.
I know. I play a cassette recording of a slide whistle into an earplug in my ear, and I build chandeliers. My hobby is building chandeliers in the studio and then swinging from them, screaming. That's when I'm off mic. So I never actually suffered in silence during the show, and now that we've tried it here, I regret how enjoyable, how much I've been missing out on.
I'm sorry, what?
That's okay. Who is that?
I don't know. Somebody. Somebody somehow broke into our telephone there. But
really? Yeah. Okay, well, we'll just let it be. But
these
I guess
things happen all the time.
I guess we should hear about Tompkins Square Park then.
I suppose so. But we have this announcement.
Again.
That announcement was brought to you as a public service.
Well, sounds like a Gale Storm imitation there. I don't know if you know why I said that. But.
No, why did you say that?
Because, do you remember My Little Margie? I don't know if you do remember.
I don't remember that.
Come to think of it. May I ask how old you are, Eric?
No, you may not.
Okay.
Well, you may ask, but you may not get an answer.
That's
so
okay. That's reasonable.
Don't be surprised.
But, see, there used to be this show.
Whoops.
The number you have reached... 444.
They plagiarized part of your opening to the show.
444 is not in service.
Can you believe this?
Please check the number and dial again. 444. 4444 is not in service. Please check the number and dial again.
And that, my friends, is a public service.
Wow. Now, I was saying, Eric, I think they, I don't know if you heard me, I said I think they plagiarized the beginning of your show there. The part where she
well
says the number you have reached.
Yeah.
I guess she works for both the phone company and you.
I guess I got to check into this.
I didn't know that. But My Little Margie was this show that was on television in the... well, actually, it was an interesting show because it was on television in the early 50s, and it also was on radio. I don't think they simulcast. I think they had two different scripts that they did. And
good evening. You're on brain damage. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Good evening. You're on brain damage. Hello? That's interesting. Now that's good.
Nice.
Now that's nice.
Nice.
I like that a lot.
Yes.
You don't get calls like that often.
You
when
don't.
You do, you have to sort of cherish them.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get onto this article about Tompkins
sure.
Square. Otherwise, we won't have any time because we only have 10 minutes left. Our phone number is 632-6901 if you want to call us. As I'm reading this, feel free. This is from the New Yorker magazine, the one that just came out. A friend writes, well, after midnight on Sunday, August 7th, as I was walking up 2nd Avenue toward my apartment on 12th Street, 8 police vehicles came screeching around the corner of St. Mark's Place, bearing down on Tompkins Square Park. I decided to follow them. The park had been much on my mind lately. A decade ago, when I moved into the neighborhood, the park had been the province of junkies and muggers, and I'd seldom ventured into it after dark. More recently, it had regained its vitality as a public gathering place. On weekend nights, especially, it emanated music and hijinks as the traffic between the dozens of bars and restaurants nearby just naturally came through the park. At the same time, it had become an encampment of the homeless. On bitter nights last January, people could be seen huddled around trash can bonfires or sleeping packed together under a tarp. Later in the winter, though, policemen had been coming in to douse the flames and otherwise harass the residents of this latter-day Hooverville. When summer arrived, the ongoing party and the settlement of the dispossessed had noticeably fused. The result was a mild commotion, a bit boisterous, but no threat to anyone. Nevertheless, it had something of the quality of a ticking bomb. The park's history had been marked by clashes between the police and area residents ever since gun emplacements were moved in for fear of local anarchist flare-ups after the Haymarket riot anarchists in Chicago were executed back in 1887. No flare-ups occurred. Especially notable have been violent turf wars in the late 1960s and early 70s, a three-way tangle of police, hippies, and Hispanic youth. For 15 years thereafter, the park and the neighborhood in general had been merely poor, and therefore ignored by officials, but with gentrification tension had returned. There had been talk, for example, that the city was unhappy with the park's design, disturbed by the darkness under the dense ancient trees and by the twisting European-style paths, and was considering revising the landscape to make it more open and policeable. It did not come as much of a surprise to learn that the police intended to begin closing the park at night, or that such an effort on the last weekend in July was met with vocal, if confused, resistance. On that occasion, some taunting went on, and a scattering of arrests took place, but around 2 a.m, the cops departed, and jubilant locals moved back into the park, convinced that they had won. On August 7th, though, matters looked very different. Even before I reached First Avenue, there were people running at full tilt toward me, away from the park. Groups were massed on the four corners of First and St. Mark, shouting, "The park belongs to the people," and similar slogans. Halfway to Avenue A, a cordon of cops and riot gear stood blocking further access to the park and weren't even letting people through to their homes. Nor would they answer questions. A police helicopter hovered so low overhead that the roar of its motor seemed to be coming from behind the houses on both sides of the street. Above Avenue A, the helicopter aimed its spotlight at the tops of buildings. Was it looking for snipers? The avenue was full of people. Some were protesting, but many had emerged from bars or from their apartments, even from bed, to find out what was happening. One man was wearing a bathrobe and slippers. A group crowded around a man who said he had heard the commander of the 9th Precinct say he was calling for reinforcements because of communist agitators among the protesters. This drew a laugh. Police were everywhere. By the end of the night, their numbers were estimated at 450. Regular cops with their caps turned around, plainclothesmen with walkie-talkies, riot troops bearing plexiglass shields, vehicles with designations ranging from Hazardous Materials Squad to DWI Task Force, and just below the park's main entrance, opposite St. Mark's Place, an emergency service truck the size of a bus, with lamps like Klieg lights aimed up and down the avenue. At one point, a detachment of mounted cops went tearing along St. Mark's at full gallop. On First Avenue, all was chaos. Trash cans lay on their sides in the street. Small groups of civilians were being chased this way and that, both by mounted cops and by foot cops, wielding nightsticks. The police appeared to be acting in purely random fashion, suddenly deciding to empty a particular corner or stretch of sidewalk, or hearing an insult launched at them from the crowd, undertaking a flanking maneuver, sticks braced as they intoned a rhythmic chant of their own, "Kill, kill, kill." More vehicles, patrol cars, and paddy wagons kept rushing down the avenue the wrong way. Then they would park and the cops would mill around. By 2 o'clock back on Avenue A, the block between 6th and 7th Streets, just below the park, was an empty zone, with police lines at either end. A few cops went striding up and down, demanding that shopkeepers and the owners of bars and restaurants shut their gates, though from the looks of the crowd, looting was about the last thing on anybody's mind. One long-haired peacock in an incongruous shiny black duster paced around in confusion, preening as if by reflex. A shirtless man stalked the front of the crowd with the air of a prophet, lifting his cane in the air and starting chants. Most people simply looked dazed. I watched the activity for 10 or 15 minutes longer, virtually the only civilian at large on the block, and then a small cop came up and shouted, half pleading, "What are you doing? Go home," as if I were an errant toddler and he a nervous young father. At 6th Street, a heavy concentration of police stood blocking off the avenue to a crowd of several hundred locals. There were cops who were trying to reason things out with their opponents. Their reasoning was mostly of the "if you go home, everything will be all right" variety, but they were a distinct minority in the blue ranks, which tended toward the abrupt and sarcastic. A knot of people on one corner clustered around two priests who were apparently among the complainants responsible for the cops' presence. That is, they had asked the precinct to try to reduce the volume of noise from the park. Now they seemed alternately embarrassed and defensive in the face of the semi-military occupation. A couple of reasonable-sounding passers-by had witnessed the beginning of the fray around 1 a.m. They said the cops had emptied the park, a group of youths had turned around and rushed the fence, and sticks had been wielded and bottles thrown. Matters had quickly escalated from there. The priests were maintaining that a large police presence was necessary to protect their parishioners from the crack trade, and didn't register the fact, even when it was pointed out to them, that such trade ordinarily takes place not in the park, but in derelict buildings on side streets. Events of the next few hours, grew increasingly repetitive. Cops and crowd would get locked in a face-off, which would then be broken when somebody, always somebody invisible in the rear, lobbed a bottle, whereupon the cops would charge and club heads. A young woman who had done nothing more than stand in the wrong place was clubbed so badly that her shirt was soaked with blood. After she was removed in an ambulance, others raised her shirt like a flag. Onlookers wept, screamed in frustration, exhorted their fellows to get their own sticks and do battle. The crowd had no leaders and no logic. Neither did the cops, apparently. They spent a great deal of time dispatching units to investigate rooftops from which nothing was being thrown. Periodically, cops would go around dumping garbage cans and breaking empty bottles with their feet and their clubs, invariably drawing applause from the crowd. During these sweeps, they seemed to attack bicycles with special vehemence, deliberately damaging them with their truncheons. Disheartened figures dragging home broken cycles became a common sight. A negotiating session between locals and cops, mediated by a third priest, ended up in a bout of circular arguments. Every now and then, a fire truck would pull up, pause for a while, and then depart. This mystified everybody until the following day, when a news report stated that police had charged that the crowd was starting fires along the avenue. That night, no fires were seen, at least by me. The siege ended at dawn when police allowed people back into the park. It seems strange that anyone still remembered the park. The next day, the radio reported the box score: 9 arrests, 3 dozen or so treated at hospitals for injuries, 27 police brutality complaints. Mayor Koch then lifted the curfew. The proposed re-landscaping of the park will no doubt be initiated very soon. That article came from the current issue of The New Yorker. It was entitled Riot. And last week we read something from The Voice, this week The New Yorker. And the accounts just keep rolling in of the really unbelievable chain of events that took place there. Only 2 weeks ago in New York City. And we'll be keeping an eye on that particular part of the world. Jim, I was wondering if you might have any last comments, as we do have to get out of here now.
Well,
unfortunately,
no.
Because this is a whole other kettle of fish we could open up here.
It's running late, so I really don't. I guess I really shouldn't start getting into anything.
Well, you can get into something, and you can say, you know, a couple of sentences if you want.
Did you
hear about this when it happened?
Oh yes, yes, and the whole thing is very disturbing. Regardless of, I'm not ignoring the issues, but I'm saying regardless of the issues, for interactions to take place to the point where there's an eruption of violence like that, where presumably, what I'm really getting at is, this might just go beyond the issue even of the park itself. What I'm getting at is, when things flare up like that, It just somehow seems that it is preventable, and that there are a lot of people that probably on different sides of the issue, of different issues, that do give a lot of thought.
Jim, let me just interrupt you for
sure.
A second. I noticed that our phones have lit up like crazy. Nick Capozzi is supposed to be in here at midnight. He's very graciously given us a few extra minutes.
That's very
so
nice.
let's take a couple of these
sure.
calls. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I'll just say something quick, because I know you have other calls to get to. But just the words
just Joe Biafra's term, corporate martial law, is bouncing around my head at the moment.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Good evening.
Jim,
you're
Mark Downey Show had a representative about situations in the northern plains about 3 weeks ago at night.
Well, we're talking about Tompkins Square, not the Northern Plains. Okay, well, that didn't take long, did it? Three calls, 1, 2, 3, like that. I should know better, shouldn't I? Anyone else? You got about 30 seconds to give us a call. 632-6901.
I was just saying that I think there are a lot of people that are very thoughtful about the different issues involved, and unfortunately, there are times where things come to blows before reason can come to the fore, and I think there are a lot of people that are interested in reasonable solutions, but well, one thing I think to tie in with what the other caller said, the one who was quoting from some of the magazines, a young person who was very interested in more involvement and less apathy, and I think that can head off this kind of situation.
Well, reason certainly is